Did I get on verse 2? Well, chapter 21 of Proverbs. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. The king's heart. Proverbs 21, verse 1, as I just read.
Huh? I think
we're
in 22. 22,
yes. Verse
3. Did we get 21 done?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, 22:1.
The last one was Proverbs 22:4-15.
Right.
So we're starting with 16.
Verse 16.
Of chapter 22?
Yes.
My goodness, I don't think I got through that far. Well, I'll tell you. All right. Well, look, let's start with verse 17 anyway. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. I don't remember doing that one. Huh? Oh, we stopped at 15. Okay. All right, then let's go back to 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of your child. Huh? Oh, I read that wrong? Did I read that wrong? Foolishness is bound in the heart of your child? I did read that wrong, didn't I? It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And that means all of them. There was only one it didn't apply to. That was the child Jesus. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now what kind of rod is that? It's a disciplinary rod. And it should fit the child. Now, if you've got a little bitty child, you don't want a stick. I think a paint paddle is just real good. Especially on them little bare legs. It can't hurt them, and they sure can't sting. And the noise would scare them. But now, if you've got a whopping 12-year-old boy, why, you'd break a big ruler over him. Wouldn't you, honey? Even a yardstick, a big one. You got the punishment's got to fit the crime, and the rod's got to fit the criminal. You don't want to, especially a man. You don't want to whip your child with your hand.
Brother Bell, you read number 7 last week.
I'm not on number 7.
No, but you did read number 7 last week.
No, we didn't.
Well, let me finish verse 15. We'll go back there some other time. All right. But I'm saying a man does not want to whip a child with their hand. Because you're getting into man stuff. And you can do some damage, even with an open hand. You can break bones, especially on a kid. So you always, always want to have something between you and that little butt. I've heard about some awful things being used. Piece of barbed wire and stuff like that. That is abuse. That's criminal abuse. And you don't want to do that. God doesn't say to do that. But to spank a child. And here's, say, well, I just tell them, go to bed without any supper. And shut the room, shut the door, shut the lights out. You know what the message you're giving that kid is? That you don't like that kid, and that kid does not have any right to be with you. And that's not the message you want to give to a child you're trying to correct. You want them to know that they have done something that they must not do. And they are being punished for that. And as soon as that's over, then you love them. And let them know that you don't hate them. I never did want to send a child to bed. Get up from the supper table. You can't eat supper. You go to bed. What you're doing, you're kicking that kid out. And there's nothing as bad as rejection. Especially being rejected by your mother or your dad, or both of them. That will do more damage than you'll ever be able to correct. You don't reject your child. That child is given to you for you to nourish and nurture and bring up in the admonition of the Lord and in the way they should go. That's what that child is given. The child doesn't belong to you. The child isn't chattel property. And I tell you what, he sure don't belong to Joe Biden or any government. Your children do not belong to the government. And boy, are they trying to get them. What's that idiot Democrat in Virginia running for governor? One idiot trying to replace another idiot. A criminal trying to replace another criminal. What's his name? It's Hillary Clinton's buddy. Anyway, I can't think of his name. It ain't worth thinking of. Boy, I hope he loses. He just got done saying in public, parents have no right to tell schools what they can teach their children. Then you need to take your kids out of them public schools and homeschool them or get them in a good private school. I would love to see the majority of public schools emptied up with people educating them at home. Oh, would that bring them to their knees? Anyway, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Your child is no exception. My child is no exception. Just because they've got your blood running in them, that means they got the blood of Adam running in them. Amen. And that's depraved. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Well, you oppress the poor to increase your riches. Well, let's see here. Why would somebody want to hack in to my phone and try to hoodoo me into giving them my Social Security number or my bank account number? Because they want to steal what I've got. They don't care how much I've got. They'd be glad to take it all if I had enough money left to pay my rent and utilities and buy a little groceries, they'd be glad to get that. So that would be oppressing the poor to get riches. And they're abundant. Don't ever give anybody your Social Security number, your bank account number. When they ask for it, that's when you hang up. Don't call me again. I just recently had, I thought it was a preacher asking for it. He didn't get it. Anyway, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. There's some people that somehow think if they can give enough to the rich will give it back to them. No. No, that's why they're rich. They'll take the first part, but not the second. They'll take it, but they don't give it. David probably knows who I'm talking about here. A rich guy once said, rich people don't pay their bills. They don't have to. You know what I'm talking about? Rich people don't pay their bills. They don't have to. Because people will let them slide because they're rich. But now if you don't have anything, they'll let you slide a day. But they'll let the rich slide a long ways. They all finally will go after them, but they'll let them go a long ways. And so the Bible says if you give to the rich, you shall surely come to want. Because you ain't got it. You lost it all. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. And that's what we're listening to right now. Bow down your ear. Look, listen carefully. It was Brother Adrian McKinney and his wife Kathy. And they're on the Facebook. Kathy's playing the lap dulcimer, and he's playing his guitar, and there's an old lady on there with him playing accordion, and she's got her ear down on it. She's listening carefully. Got done so she can hear. If you ever watched Earl Scruggs when he picks the guitar, he's got his ear right on that guitar. And the reason for that's so he can hear what he's doing. Because, you know, with everybody else playing and all that, he wants to hear what he's doing. And that's how you listen carefully. You bow down your ear. You incline your ear. When you're reading the Word of God, incline your ear. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. That is the words of wisdom. And where do the words of wisdom come from? They come from the Word of God. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. You're a child of God. The Word of God should fit going in and coming out. You shouldn't be hesitant. You shouldn't be awkward quoting the Word of God. That ought to fit your lips just perfectly. But it will, and it will if you bow down and listen to it, because it'll fit you. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I've made known to thee this day, even to thee. That's the ultimate objective of knowing the Word of God, knowing the wisdom. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Where they come from the Word of God. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. There we go again, the Word. You can't separate God from His Word. You just can't have Him without His Word. And of course, talking about after church, of course, Jesus Christ is the living Word. He's the Logos. Well, a word, they say it's a vehicle of thought. You think about that. A word is a vehicle. Is something that carries something. A word is a vehicle of thought. It carries a thought from your head. That's why you want to choose the right ones. That's why you don't want to be stumbling around on words and end up using words that not the words you want to use. That's why we need to study, show ourselves approved unto God. We want to use the right words, and we want the right words to carry right thoughts. And so, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. You answer the words of truth, somebody asks you a question, you want to send them. And also, I'm going to reiterate this. We need to speak as of the oracles of God.
Amen.
We need to let our words be scriptural words. Amen. We don't have the authority nor the mandate to create a new vocabulary. That's why we don't need these versions, modern versions of the Bible.
Right.
Even if they're somewhat right, we need to stick with the words of truth, the words of God, of the Bible.
Amen.
Of the true version. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. Now, you know, you hear all this stuff that there's honor among thieves. I don't think there is. I think a thief is a thief, and he'll steal from anybody he can steal from. Plain and simple. He says, don't rob the poor because they're poor, and they don't have much defense. Don't have much way to protect themselves. Don't take advantage of them. That's what he's saying. Don't take advantage of people that are vulnerable to any kind of attack. The Lion News Media, the Lexington Herald Leader, Courier Journal, New York Times, name them. The Lion News Media won't let you hear anything about it. You hear about some of from Fox News, some of them, not all of them on Fox. There are more people murdered in Chicago in 1 month than was killed in Afghanistan. See, you have a rough time hearing that about those lying dogs out there, the so-called news media. They don't report the news. They make the news. They fabricate the news. The Black Lives Matter people, they don't care about black lives. Do you know how many black people are murdered in Chicago every month, every year, every weekend? You'll have anywhere from 7, 8 to 25 that are murdered in Chicago. And you know, the majority of those are poor black people. And it's black people that shoot them. Something else you don't hear of. The by far large majority of aborted babies in this country are black babies. Do you know that? Matter of fact, they tell me that's where they set up the Planned Parenthood abortion clinics. Right in the so-called ghettos. Poor town. Because that's who they're after. Well, you know the woman that started Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger? She thought all black people and the dark races ought to be eliminated. That's Hillary Clinton's buddy. And they dare call somebody a racist. How much more racist can you be than that? Actually murdering them before they ever get a chance at life. But where are the Black Lives Matter people in Chicago? And where are they at Planned Parenthood? Not a word. All they want to do is eliminate the police departments. Do you know that the mobs are already getting their trucks ready to start looting all of the stores? They can't wait for it to happen because it's going to happen. If you don't get these Democrats out of office, now I don't see much chance of it. Anyway, rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. Because he or she can't take care of themselves. That's why that would be. And why would you take advantage of somebody? Why would a man supposedly loving his wife, she's his mate for life, why would he haul off and hit her with her, with his fist or with anything for that matter? Why would he do that? I'll tell you why, because he's a coward. And he couldn't get away with that with the real man. Go ahead and try it with a man, see what you get. You ain't going to do it. But he will do it with a little wife that can't fight back. Not a man in my book. And he certainly is not deserving of honor from his kids. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. The Lord is on their side, and ultimately, you won't get away with it. Even if you hoodwink and get you a big lawyer, you won't get away with it. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, thou shalt not go. You really can't do that. You're getting in a world of trouble. Now, I say this again. There is nothing wrong with having a temper. Anger is a legitimate emotion, just as love is. Fear, all of those emotions, they're all legitimate. And the Bible commands us, be ye angry. But it says, and sin not. We are to have control of our anger. People say, boy, I tell you, I got a temper, and when it gets away from me, I don't know what I'm doing. You better get control of it. Well, I can't, that just the way I am. If you really can't change, you're not saved.
Amen.
The whole life of a child of God is change. That's what sanctification is. Putting off, putting on, growing in grace and knowledge, learning, dying out to self. So don't make a friendship with an angry man or a furious man, lest. Now let me say that word, L-E-S-T, is not least. It's in Ephesians. Lest any man should boast. I hear even preachers say, least any man should boast. That doesn't make any sense. Least doesn't make any sense when you're supposed to be using lest. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Well, you take a kid who's exposed to nothing but violence, that's what they'll become. They've been raised with it. They've learned it. Be not thou one of them that strike hands or them that are sureties for debts. Be careful what kind of obligations you obligate yourself to. When I was young and had good bones, joints, had plenty of strength and plenty of energy, I kept myself obligated to doing stuff for people for free. I kept my obligations. I never told anybody I'd do something and I didn't do it. Never. I don't think anybody can call anything up that I said I would do and didn't do it. I may not have done it at the time, but I did. I got it done. If I said I'd do it, I did it. Even if it killed me, I'd do it. Even if I didn't get no sleep. But I did it. But you know what I finally had to learn? I can't cure everybody's problems. Everybody's got problems and everybody's got needs. We all do. But I can't single-handedly alleviate everybody's needs. I'd like to help you. I will if I can. But so far, I'm not able to. Now I can't. But don't obligate yourself to do it.
Amen.
I've known guys, preachers, that obligate themselves to do something for somebody, and they need to have it done. Yeah, I'll do that. And pretty soon I get a phone call. Where's so-and-so? Where's brother so-and-so? He said he'd be here to do this for me. I said, now, brother, I didn't say I'd be there. I don't know. You'll have to call him. Oh, I can't get a hold of him. I said, if I see him, I'll tell him for you. But all you do is convince everybody that you're not trustworthy, that you're a dishonest person. Everybody has needs. That's just plain and simple. Just like preaching. I don't know where you've ever been that there hasn't been a need for somebody, a preacher. And you'll never go anyplace, brother, that there's not a need for you. I've never been anyplace that there wasn't a need for a preacher. But I can't fill all those bills. I just can't do it. I have to do what the Lord called me to do.
Amen.
And be faithful to that. Anyway, don't make the obligation. See, what I had to learn to do was watch my mouth. That's what I had to do. Keep your mouth shut. Don't obligate yourself. Don't create problems for yourself. That's what you have to do. And you have to be wise enough to understand what you can do and what you can't do. You can't do it all. You got to take care of your obligations first. If I don't take care of my family, who's going to? And that's why the Bible says a man that provides not for his own house is worse than an infidel having denied the faith. So here, I'm out here doing something free for somebody else, and my own house is being neglected. So I just had to learn to control my mouth. Like your eyes bigger than your stomach, my mouth is bigger than my ability to deliver. And then I'd have to go night and day to deliver. Anyway, be not thou one of them that strike hands. That's obligating yourself. Or them that are sureties for death. Sure, I'll sign your note for you. You watch those judge shows, Judge Judy, and all of them. Here's some poor grandma, grandpa, their grandchild came and said, Granny, I got to have a car and I can't get a loan. I need to get this car so I can go to work. Will you sign for my car? Hell yes, honey. You will make the payments. Oh, sure. I'll make the payments. And there they are in court. And there's the grandchild. They've already foreclosed. Grandma's done lost her house. Got no place to live. And there's the grandchild, grandson or granddaughter. Well, I thought that was a loan. I mean, a gift. It wasn't. It happens all the time. I mean, various circumstances, but it's the same thing. You can watch them anytime they're on there. You'll have somebody on there like that. Or I pulled out $20,000 out of my savings to let you put down on the house, and you're supposed to have that paid back. Well, no, they done lost their house, and your money's gone too. One of my kid, okay, if you're prepared to pay that or lose that money, go ahead and sign it. And don't run your mouth when you lose it. Because the first month there's any doubt, they won't make the payment. And do you know who they'll come to? You. They don't come to them. Because they're second on that loan. You're first. You're the one that's got the clout, and you're the one they come after. He said, well, you're telling me not to love my kids. No, that's not love. That's indulging. That's really perversion. It's not love. You want to love your child? Teach your child to be self-sufficient. Teach your child to get a job and save the money and live and buy it on their own. So don't be one of those. Here's follow up to that. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Well, here I signed a loan, and they're taking my bed away from me. I didn't even get what it was. He or she got that, and now they're taking my bed away. Well, that's what'll happen. Okay. Now remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. There's a verse 10 in the next chapter. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Landmarks. It's amazing, these old deeds. Mark a tree at the left corner and a big rock on the right corner, and those are your landmarks. Well, that's what they did early on. That's all they had. Now they got iron pegs and stuff that the surveyors set up. But a landmark's always been very important. And matter of fact, it was one of the curses, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, Mount of cursing, Mount of blessing. It was one of the cursings. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Well, what'd that mean? What if they remove your landmark? You can't prove that you own it. You look some of the old deeds and look at the landmarks on there. Well, I don't know how they expect it to last forever, because trees don't live forever. And so anyway, but somebody goes in the night, you've got 20 acres out there. You can't watch it all the time. And your little old cabin's right up here on the front edge of it. Well, that's a lot of land to cover back there. And somebody comes up on a dark night and moves your landmark. Well, next thing you know, you done lost half your property because they done moved your landmarks. Well, he says over here, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Well, what is a field of the fatherless? It's a field that has no owner. It's an orphan child. It's a field that has no owner. And if you're not the owner, anybody else can be the owner. So it's very important. Landmarks were very, very important. Always have been. But we believe there's another application to this also. We're called Landmark Baptist. Amen. As well as Sovereign Grace Baptist. And what that landmark is, a landmarker, J.R. Graves and A.C. Dayton, those old fellas, old landmarkism. wrote books on that well. There are landmarks in the Lord's kind of church.
Amen.
And we're landmarkers because we believe in those landmarks, and we will not move those landmarks. I can name you a bunch of churches that when I came out here 50 years ago, they were just like us. And now they ain't even close to being like us. The things that were taught in those churches then, not even thought about now. I'll give you one big example. Old Ashland Avenue. That's where the Trail of Blood came from. That went all over this world in several different languages. And still going on. And it taught the doctrine of Baptist church perpetuity, the authority of the Lord's church, the authority of its baptism and its Lord's Supper. And those were the old landmarks.
Amen.
And they began to be called landmarks back in the middle 1800s. J.R. Graves was one of the key spokesmen in that. Now they don't even believe what the Trail of Blood teaches. Not that it's our authority. The Bible's our authority, but it's based on the Word of God. Totally. It breaks your heart to see what was. And because fooling around with a bunch of preachers that went to schools that denied the truth. And that's basically where it came from. So it's still going on. And there are fewer and fewer of these churches around. But remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. That means small. Small in character, in wealth, finances. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? I'll give you an example. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Loudon Square, the restaurant. Max Flannery is... he's way up in his 80s. When you go over there any day of the week, he's there. He's there every day, presiding over his business, and he's working too. And when he's there, you can guarantee that food will be always the same.
Amen.
But you know the thing I've noticed about Max is he was diligent in his business. He never did take the stance that I'm a big businessman now, I can take off and play. He never did do that. He took care of his business day in and day out and still is doing it. He's all bent over now, but he still goes. I knew him when he was a young man. I was a lot younger than him. Not a lot, but I was some years younger than him. But I've never known that man not to work. Is he successful? Yeah, I'd say he's pretty good. I have no idea what he's worth, but I'd say he's right there where he should be. But he was diligent in his business. I've watched him through the years go borrow money, buy him a new van, all new ladders, all new equipment. Now I'm a contractor. Paint contractor. And then they get a couple of big jobs under the belt. Next thing you know, they're on a week vacation in the Bahamas with their family. A little bit after that, you find the paint store. They go there. Now they're on cash only because they owe paint bills. at this paint store and that paint store. They can't get credit anywhere in town. At the drywall store, they can't get any kind of equipment at all. They're on cash only. There you see the help is trying to hurt them because they don't pay their help. Then there's IRS on them, not because they owe so much back taxes for the money they've made, because they spent the employees' money. The money they've held out of the employees' paycheck, they spent it. That ain't your money. Whether you like it or not, you got somebody working for you, you taking taxes out on them, Social Security and all that, that ain't your money. I don't care how much is in that bank. It ain't yours. And when you spend it, you know what they say? You're stealing our money. And that's why they put you in prison over that. They don't put you in prison if you just owe personal taxes. They'll make a deal with you where you pay on them and all that stuff. But, buddy, on that withholding tax, that's where most of them bite the dust, buddy, big time, because they spend that government money. But they're not diligent in business. Not diligent in their business. Now, the man that's diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before small men. In other words, he's going to have some respect and be among people that are just like him. So, if you're going to do a job, do it. If you're going to be a cook, be a good one. Be the best one that you can be. You're going to be a nurse, be a good one. And be faithful. I watch them get jobs, and they haven't been on the job for a week, and they're calling in. I won't be able to make it today. And then wonder why they get fired. You can't do that. I worked with my brother 5 years. I never called him one time. He said, well, you must have felt good every day. Oh, shoot, get out of here. Man, my age don't feel good every day. Golly. Young people think they know what pain is. They don't have any idea what pain is. Don't have any idea. You wait until you get there. You'll find out. Of course, it'll be too late then. But you got to take care of your business, even if you don't feel like it. That's what he's saying. So is that spiritual? Yes, that's spiritual. You try having a spiritual life and violating that, going against it, you won't have much, I'll tell you that. God help us to keep these words of wisdom and keep them and bow thy, incline thine ear to it, that we might keep it with us and be and reap the results.